Welcome to Unanthropologetic. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I have Flex and Preston here with me, as always.
Yo, what it do, baby boo? No, okay, so yesterday...
Preston is a spice. Preston is a spice on this podcast. Like, he brings a flavor. He brings something new every single time.
I doubt that. That is not the truth. It is true. I literally just show up and I'm like, okay, so what am I talking about today? But no, it made, when I did that voice, I was having a conversation with my staff yesterday, and they only know me as fully out gay Preston.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't know that just, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was still very much in the closet. And, you know, I would attempt to be a bit more straight. And so when I was telling them this story yesterday, they low-key tried to come for me. And they were like, oh, I just can never imagine you being straight.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, fuck you. Like, you
know? So, like, but that's interesting, though, because, you know, I think there is, like, I don't, you know, I think actually my other friend Preston's also like this, but I do think that, like, I don't know. What does that mean? What does that mean to be like, I can't see you as straight or that I can't see you as gay? Because I feel like both like stereotypes exist in both or the spectrum. Yes. So,
yes. Yeah. I mean, because gender identity and all of it is on a spectrum in general. Mm-hmm. And so people who identify as heterosexual, not all of them act stereotypically male.
Yeah.
Or masculine, excuse me. It's on a spectrum. So I agree. I'm always very kind of like, well, like, how was I supposed to act, bitch?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, and you were still gay then. You were just not openly gay.
Right. Like, I just wasn't openly gay. I wasn't out. And depending on the spaces that I would go into, I would try to assimilate or whatever. And so that was kind of the... I guess my point in sharing that story with them yesterday.
Yeah.
But I had through on my little voice that I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I just be like, shawty, what's up? You know, chilling. And they was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I can't take it. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's too funny. Yeah. Cause also my other friend Preston, he's like, yeah, he's definitely more like, again, he doesn't have like a voice, you know, a certain voice that he uses or anything. Like, he's always been the same, like,
right
before he came out, after he came out. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm here, y'all. So,
yeah,
Preston in the building.
Perfect. How has your week been?
My week, I always say I'm going to come on here and not complain about work. And so I'm only going to talk about things outside of work. But low-key, work has been blowing me this past week. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's something in the water. You know, Serena is in Venus, or Venus is in Serena, whatever they say. You know, everybody has been complaining. Patients have been, like, going up the ranks and, like, contacting, like, VPs and presidents of the hospital.
Oh my God.
To like complain about someone, particularly one of my staff members or whatever. And then it like comes back to me to like have to figure out or fix or investigate. And it happened quite a few times this week. Whereas before it has never happened. Like I've never gotten a complaint. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know if my staff are just kind of going through it at the moment or if everybody is just going through it in the world. I don't know. But I tell people, don't come to my office after 4 p.m. to complain or to vent unless you have food.
Or like a coffee.
Or an offering is more what I'm saying.
Fenty Beauty.
Bring
Fenty
me
highlighter.
Absolutely. Bring me something that I can use. And then you can have a seat and complain to me. Otherwise, stay your ass out of my office. Like, that's just where I am.
Right. I mean, that sounds really high stress, especially when it goes to like, you know, people who are higher than you, because then I feel like that's more pressure than just like you handling it from your position down. So
it's like you could have just came to me as the manager. It would have gotten back to me anyway, type of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I think patience. I don't know. I think the biggest realization that I've been having over the last few weeks is that, and I get it because I'm like that too, but patients think that their issue is the only issue.
The most important,
It's the most important issue. And it simply just isn't. And a lot of their issues are not urgent. A lot of their issues are not, you know, I don't know. It doesn't raise to the level of contacting the president of a hospital.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I think we have always seen that we live in a very, like, individualistic society. And so we always think me first. And so in my role, it's low-key customer service. It's always kind of like the customer is always right. So you have to, like, investigate and track down. And let them know, like, I am doing everything in my power to make sure this never happens again. You know, so it's like...
Especially to you.
Especially to you, Karen. So it's just... It's too much. Anywho.
Yeah.
How has your week been?
That just
reminds me. You've had a lot going on.
I always have a lot going on. But it's been better. Like, I feel like last week I came in with these, like... I was telling you these undertones of bitterness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm in a better place. I do have a PSA for everyone. Respond to your emails. Like, okay, just respond to your emails. If someone sends you an email, just say thanks or say something, like acknowledge that you received it. Mm. Because I mean, if it's like something that is minute or minor, that's different. But like, respond to your emails.
That's actually a word. Like that, that is something that needs to go down into the principles of, you know, ways to not be an asshole 101.
Right. Like, oh my gosh. It's just like, it's just interesting because like, I got recruited into another study, which I think I'm going to actually back out of. Not back out. I mean, that sounds terrible, but like, I've come to a point where I feel like I've done my duty and I'm not needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people who like, you know, have amazing technology. They just have the worst customer service. I really hope they never listen to this, but anyway, I mean, maybe they really need it.
Yeah. I mean, they need it, but you're not naming names. So.
That's true. I'm not naming names. But yeah, it's just like, I just think that when you're like in a team environment or you're trying to do like groundbreaking research, you do need to follow up or follow through and like, yeah, but that's my only complaint. Otherwise I feel like I'm in a good place. I feel a lot more relaxed. I feel like I spent this morning looking at makeup and that just made me happy.
Mm. That's amazing.
So I'm in a good place right now. My room is no longer in its pixie cut phase and it's nice, flowing, beautiful locks.
I was going to say, is it in the long lock stage? Like,
I mean, it still has a little bit of work to do, but you know, it's so much better than it was. And so I just feel... good. I feel really good. That 1 week of stress was worth. Well, no, was it worth it? I don't know. But you know, I'm in a good place now. But yeah.
Good. Oh, I have one more like positive thing to share. Is that my favorite show has come back. What Never Have I show? Ever.
Yes, I was watching it last night.
It is such a good show. Oh my god. Everyone,
oh my gosh.
This is not an ad, but it is an amazing show.
Sponsored but not sponsored. Netflix sponsor us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Never Have I Ever. But you know what? That's interesting that you bring that up because I guess that's what we're breaking down today, right? Never Have I Ever.
Oh my goodness, you guys. It was such a good show.
Do you want to give a brief synopsis of the show for the people who haven't listened? You should watch it. To those of you listening, go watch it. It's just a good way to unwind. That's what I have
Absolutely.
To say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, okay. Never Have I Ever. It was a sleeper hit, all right? It's such a good show. I feel like I've also been talking like Kamala Harris, and there's a character in the show named Kamala.
Kamala, yeah.
But I'm not going to fake an Indian accent because that would be offensive. But the show is about a young girl named Davy. And she is, is she Indian American?
I think she's Indian American.
I think she's Indian American. but her family, her parents, are immigrants from India.
Yes.
And it kind of goes through, it's definitely set in like that teenage, like angst kind of space. And usually teenage angst annoys me. However, this show does it in a way that is not so off-putting, mainly because of the themes that they explore. So Davy, it kind of picks up where she's going through the mourning stage of her father. Her father passes away suddenly, I believe in a car crash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or a motorcycle crash or something like, no, it was a car
crash. I think it was a car crash, yeah.
And he was kind of like the light of her world. And she's always had a very difficult or strained relationship with her mother because her mother is very set in her ideals about, you know, maintaining their Indian culture and like doing what they should do or what's expected of them to do. Whereas Davy is, you know, young and, you know, she's Indian American. And so a lot of her desires and dreams are rooted more in, you know, her environment that she sees every day. And she felt like her dad understood that and her dad gave her the leeway to explore, whereas her mom doesn't. And so now that he's not here, they are kind of navigating life without him. And it has been very challenging for Davy. And so,
yeah. And, you know, I think that who was it? Mindy Kaling, who's the producer. Yeah. So the one thing that I like really appreciate is because I feel like the entire show represents a lot of elements of my childhood and my upbringing as an Indian person. Very well, like,
does it?
Yeah, like some of the,
because you know there was controversy about that.
Yeah, I think there was. I think there's gonna be controversy with everything, but and like, I was devious. I don't think I was that devious, like as Davy is with her like little ploy to get laid or whatever. But like, in season one, I haven't started season two yet. But everyone, like, you should go watch it. It's such a great show. But there are certain things that are just like so spot on. And I think the other thing too, is I feel like it's very representative. Like the entire show is very representative of, sorry, my roommate texted me, it shows like, you know, people who have disability, it has people who are LGBTQIA. It shows like the immigrant experience.
Right.
And even like, what's the other character's name? The Davy's like his competition, Ben, is that his name?
Ben.
Yeah. Like even his like kind of spins on his life and like, you know, loneliness.
Very privileged. And
yeah.
He's lonely, even though he has access to like everything.
Everything. Yeah. I just think it does a really good job of being kind of representative. I think there was controversy because, like, again, I think this fits into this niche of like, there can always be improvement. So like, I think one of the criticisms was that the character who plays Davy's, or the person who plays Davy's mother, is not actually, she's like an American born Indian or a Canadian Indian. I don't remember. And they could have used someone who was actually from India and like didn't have to fake the accent or whatever. And I don't know, like,
What's your opinion on that though? Like, is it wrong inherently to have someone who is Indian play an Indian role, but may not be, you know, have strong ties to India or from a particular region in India?
See, like, it's so hard to like, because I'm an Indian American, like I was born and brought up here, and like I personally don't have an issue with it, but again, I don't want to gatekeep this issue and say like, oh, no one should have an issue with it, because maybe, you know, maybe there's a reason why. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't feel like they painted like this caricature that was damaging. I think that character, the mother character, is like someone my parents would identify with in a lot of ways in terms of how they raised me and my sister, and like, you know, the fear of like, you know, hoping that their children will be successful and able to take care of themselves and, you know, fulfill this version of the American dream, because again, mm-hmm. we've talked about this. Everyone, it seems like everyone has a version of the American dream, but this is what it is for immigrant parents, Indian immigrant parents. And like, you know, putting all this pressure, not talking to boys, not all, mm-hmm. all these things, like it, that's, it's not a caricature like that. That is really common. Like there's, at least in my generation, there's very few families where that probably aren't represented by her character and the elements surrounding her character. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why I don't find it offensive personally, but I don't want to gatekeep. Of course, you know, someone has a really, like, I think part of it is just that, like, I think part of the issue, and I think this is valid, is that if there are people out there who can fit these roles because they fit that demographic and have the characteristics just from a first person perspective, then why not use that person in that role? But, mm-hmm. and I don't want to minimize that because I think it's still important, but I'm not personally impacted negatively by right. them not using someone who's born and brought up in India.
And I think that's an interesting idea because especially now in like woke America, mm-hmm. You're having to have these conversations and kind of debate what is right and what is wrong, you mm-hmm. know? And I think even when I remember when Black Panther came out mm-hmm. and all of the conversations around representation in that film and, you know, did they do, you know, could they have shown more realistic examples of Africa or could they have had more dark-skinned individuals or more, you know, more a variety of skin tones mm-hmm. showcased. You know, there's always this kind of conversation between what it means to be African-American and what it means to be African mm-hmm. and an immigrant from Africa and the experience between, and the differences between both experiences. And so I would only imagine that those conversations would come up with other groups of people,
yeah.
particularly, you know, in this case, being whether you're Indian American or immigrant from India or Indian Canadian.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I just know yeah. that she wasn't like someone who's born and brought up in India or yeah, something like that. So,
and should she yeah. be allowed to tell a story of someone who is, you know, from India, like the character right. in the show is an immigrant from India. And I don't know where I land on that, because I think you should be able to, especially mm-hmm. if you have a reference to it. And it
or
is,
like her parents, like there's someone in right. her family had to play the role that she's playing now. Like, and that's, I guess that's also another thing too, is like, yeah, sorry, keep going.
No, I agree. That's yeah. what, I mean, that was the point that I was getting to. It's like, mm-hmm. you have, it is realistic for her to play that role. Mm-hmm. And she has real life experiences that she can draw on in order for her to do that role justice without making it a caricature. But I think, you know, the difference, I would feel uncomfortable if I was an actor and they were like, hey, go play this African role. Mm-hmm. Because I have no reference to Africa
yeah.
or that heritage or that part of my lineage. So it's, to me, it would be making more of a caricature of mm-hmm. of that culture versus, you know, the mom who most likely has ties back to India.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think they're kind of different almost because, like, and I keep flashing back every time you like kind of mention this theme or this topic, I keep flashing back to this America's Next Top Model episode. Oh my God. Problematic show, but like I grew up on it. Like I used to love watching that show. And I didn't really realize how problematic it was until much later. Like
yes, Tyler, but, you right, girl.
Yeah, but like, no, but yeah, I grew up on that show. And like, I remember this one episode where there was two girls, like one who was from Africa and one who was African-American. And like, the girl from, like, I think the girl who was African-American, she was kind of like talking about some, I don't remember the context, but she was kind of talking about how, like, for her, she doesn't know where she came from because, you know, her ancestry, like, you know, stems from maybe Africa, but it's not like her ancestors, like, willingly right. came here, you know, right. it's very different. And like the girl who's from Africa couldn't understand that because to her, it was just like, they were just all black. But the girl from Africa at least knew where she was, like where she came from. Like she right. had an identity as being like, I don't remember where she was, where specifically she was from in Africa, but, you know, she could sit there and say like, oh, I'm from, you know, this place in Africa. Whereas the African-American girl couldn't. And I think right. there's a difference there because as an Indian American, I can still say, oh, my family came from, and I think Indians were also like kind of looped in, but it's a little, they were looped into this colonial bullshit.
Right.
Like, right. but it just again, looks different for like me, because I can still sit here and say like, oh, my parents are from this place in India. And like, I still have like, I have a line surrounding my identity, like, or my heritage and my, so I think that's the difference. And so, I think it's like a similar issue, but it has its own nuances simply because of that, those like
the circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. like, you know, to your point, even though you are Indian American, mm-hmm. you theoretically could go to India today mm-hmm. and connect with family members.
Yeah.
Totally. I could not do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, and I think that, and that's always kind of the plight of being African American, is that, especially if you are not a descendant of someone who immigrated, you know, mm-hmm. within the last few generations.
Right.
You don't have that connection. So I can't go back to Africa to
right.
live with like what fan who
right
who? Like,
yeah. And it's like there's just so much violence in the history of, like, again, like, not to like impose my being an outsider, but like there's just so much violence in the context of being African-American, the history of being African-American, mm-hmm. because like even, you know, like even just some of the acts, I just like don't want to talk about it because it's just so violent. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, like, even if you were to like go back to Africa, like that might not be the end or the only place that your ancestry comes from, you know, like, because, absolutely. You know, like there's Indians who somehow ended up in the Caribbean. But, you know, that's not where they originated. And so, like, I assume it's a similar thing, you know, for
yeah.
other African-Americans, where you could have like this like fusion. Fusion makes it sound nice. It is not a nice thing. Fusion makes it sound like exotic, but this is, yeah, there's so much, like, violence here. No.
Korean and chicken. Fusion. I hate yeah. fusion restaurants. I hate them.
Really?
I don't understand the concept. When I can go to a restaurant and get like, what is it? Pho?
Right.
Pho,
yeah.
Pho, and then yeah. also get, you know, like fried chicken. You're like, girl, get out. Like, I can't. But anyway,
okay, so like my only thing is like Korean chicken wings, like Korean style chicken wings. That's the only fusion food I think yes, I can really get behind.
I do love the good Korean chicken wing. I don't know. I think for me it's literally just a hypocritical stance that I stand on. But like there's this what is it called? I don't know. But there's this one like Asian like chain restaurant here. Now, I cannot think of what it's called, but they sell like fried chicken, but it's like an Asian restaurant, but they're selling like Southern fried chicken. And it's a chain. Like, I've seen them everywhere. I can't think of what it is. I can see it in my head, but it has always confused me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. so wait, what are we doing here? But to your point, whenever I see some Korean fried chicken wings or like, you know, Korean barbecue, I am there. So,
and you know, I know you don't like Indian food, but there is this actual, like, I don't think it's a fusion, cause I think it's actually real cuisine for like, some of the cultures that happen to be a fusion of like Indian and Chinese culture.
Oh.
But Indo-Chinese food, like, like with like chili chicken or Manchurian chicken. It's like or it's Manchurian cauliflower. That's what it is. I think you would like it. Because I know you like Chinese food.
I love.
I never thought about this.
I'm being very clear. I love all Asian cuisine except Indian cuisine. And I don't know what it is because I've tried Indian and I like certain things, but I don't know. I don't feel like I've had that meal that I was like, that's it. Like, that's the girl. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. We'll have to
Like previously, it was because of the coconut. Like you're not a coconut person, and they do use coconut. Yeah, and that could be it. Like that could be it. But I think you should try like the Indian. You know, I know you don't like fusion food either. I'm just kidding.
But, I have issues.
but like, you should try like, it's called Gobi Manchurian. I think you would like it because it is very like. There's a lot of Chinese like flavor profiles in it. So
I'm gonna write that down. Because I feel like, how do we get on this topic? I feel like
we're talking about fusions. Digress. And I was trying to say, it's like, I know we were talking about Never Have I Ever, and now we're like talking about
chicken,
Indian Chinese food. But yeah, no, that's what I think the point was that, like, I like if we're comparing, like, you know, African or African American characters playing African or African American people playing African characters versus Indian American people playing Indian characters, there's like a parallel, but I think it's still so different because of just the history behind the individual.
And I don't think it's the same the opposite way. Like if an African person played an African American or, you know, Americanized person, I don't think there's an uproar with that. And I think it'll be the same for like an Indian. Someone like, I think off the top of my head, Priyanka.
Priyanka Chopra. Chopra?
Do you?
I hate her. Anyway.
Do you? We need to dissect that because I love you, really enjoy her.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. And we can dissect it. She is beautiful. I do have to say that. And again, I don't want to like gatekeep this, but like my circle of friends who are in the Indian community also don't like her.
Give us a small sentence, like why, like what's the blurb, like is it because she is trying, is assimilating, or
no, it's not. I think it's because, well, you know, maybe that's a good way to put it. Like I don't think it's because she's assimilating. I think it's because, or okay, I think she's trying to assimilate in a way that isn't her staying true to herself. Because if you look at her earlier days, her earlier like movies in Bollywood, they're like, you know, I love a lot of her Bollywood movies. I think she just like, she's a talented actor in my opinion, and she's driven, and she has a thirst. You know, we're talking about this with the Nicki Minaj episode. Like she had a thirst. Mm-hmm. She was like, you know, in a Miss World, like she was a Miss World winner. Mm-hmm. Which is really common for a lot of Indian actresses, but like she's just different. And then I think in order for her to like break into, and I get this, like maybe this was like a hurdle and this is something she had to do like to overcome this hurdle to break into Hollywood, because you know, it's just racist, because the thing is like movies are not just isolated to Hollywood. We have Bollywood, which is like a much bigger industry than Hollywood is. The actors and actresses work like, you know, way more movies than every actor in the US does.
Right.
They do like, you know, at least 10 movies a year, each of them, which is not really common, I think, for actors in the United States. But in order for an actor in India to get recognized, they do have to break into Hollywood. And so when Priyanka Chopra did that, I think she like definitely sacrificed like herself or her like natural charm and things like that in order to fit in, like just certain things that I've noticed. And this is not just, it's not just with her. I think it happens a lot with like, especially younger children who are coming to the US. It's like they feel this need to prove themselves. And so they turn into like a shell of themselves almost. Like she, you know, has this quote unquote American accent that she uses, but to me, it sounds very forced. It doesn't sound natural. And like, I think also part of this, when my parents, when I was much younger, like my dad has always been very self-conscious about his accent. And so I remember him and my mom like buying like tapes in order to learn how to change their accent to make it sound more American. And I hated it because they've both contributed so much to the community in their own way. Like in the Midwest, if you go over a bridge, I'm sure my dad has had some hand in building that bridge. But it's like they still aren't valued because of their accent, and that's dumb to me. And I think that translates over to Grandma Chopra. And I just wish that, you know, she had pushed through while staying authentic to herself.
Yeah.
And I can criticize myself here by saying maybe people grow and change, but I just, I personally don't like how she's grown and changed.
And I think that's the, that is the horror story of many immigrants that come to America, because as we saw in 2020, America is a very individualistic country. And, you know, we have a lot of patriotism around what makes us an American. And so for someone to come over here and feel the need to be successful or have that drive and that ambition, I think they feel the need a lot of the times to sacrifice who they are and their culture in order to make it in whatever goal that they're doing. And, you know, is I stand in the middle with that, because I'm kind of like, on one hand, yes, you should always retain who you are and be true to you. But and then on the other hand, it's kind of like, well, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to you know, not get those movies? Are you supposed to not, you know, chase your dreams, you know, when you are in a society that tells you being an immigrant is wrong? So
and like I have to also give her credit for like being able to mold into fitting into like a whole different culture and things like that, because there's also this like saying like she's running so that other people after her can walk, you know, and like, you know, if she can like create this path. And I like, I have to give her credit for that kind of thing. But again, I think it's just because like I fell in love with her watching her do Bollywood movies and watching her like talent in Bollywood movies and like her interviews in Bollywood, you know, in the Bollywood space, and then seeing her come over here. And like, I think she dumbs herself down, actually. That's also part of it, is I really think she dumbs herself down in interviews. Yeah.
She's because she's like a scientist.
Yeah, she. I don't remember. She's she's very well educated. And I think that's like also the other thing that really bothers me, is that she dumps herself down, because I don't know. I just don't think anyone should be doing that in efforts to fit in. But you know, again, if her priority is like being an actress and like, you know, and this is what she has to do that, then more power to her. So,
but I'm sure, hopefully, and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, and probably other immigrants in that way, that they, when they're in their home life, they retain more of what makes them who they truly are. And hopefully, when she's in America, when she's in around her community, she can be the brainiac that I believe she truly was before.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like, it's also interesting because there was another actress who kind of came before her that was starting to break into Hollywood, like Aishwarya Roy. I didn't realize I knew this much about this, but
Aishwarya Roy. Is that the really pretty woman with the eyes?
Yes. Oh, she's so beautiful. Yes,
so pretty.
Yeah, but she...
eyes.
she was in Bride and Prejudice. Bride and Prejudice, not Pride and Prejudice with a B. Bride and Prejudice. And then she was also in one of the Pink Panther movies. I don't know if it was the same one that Beyonce was in.
Oh, I pretend that didn't happen. So I never watched it.
Oh, really? I love that movie. I don't love the one she's in though. I love the first one. Oh, the first one is the one she's in. That is the one that Beyonce's in. Yeah,
no.
I never watched the second one.
Certain movies we just pretend didn't happen with Beyonce. And that is one of them.
Interesting. We should dive into that more. But yeah, but to go back to Never Have I Ever, the other thing I like think is interesting, and this kind of ties into like talking about Priyanka Chopra, is that like the the movie does a good job of showing how like the Indian community almost like shits on each other in a lot of ways. Like, I don't know if you remember like the episode where they all go to the temple and like there's like these catty like aunties and like,
yes. I was gonna ask you about that. Like, how realistic real. Was that?
Okay. That's real. It's so real. Like, it's so real. Like, it's like everyone's in competition with each other. No one's truly happy for each other. Or at least that's what my experience was growing up. And it's like, especially as a child, like for Davy, like, cause she was like, sends her on a mission, right, to get her PSAT or her SAT instructor, like someone right. to get her to Princeton. Right. The pressure of all of that is so real because, yeah, I mean, I totally identified with that on a lot of, in a lot of ways, like everything was just a competition. And me and my sister, I feel like, I'm just going to toot my own horn. I feel like we were the model children. Maybe we made it worse for the other children on some level because both of us were like such high achievers. We were both very successful in high school. And like, you know, it was like everyone was trying to compete with us almost. That's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. But it also came down to not just school, like vacuuming. Like mothers would be bragging about like their child vacuuming because they knew that me and my sister would help my mom, you know, clean the house or cook and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it was just so representative. And it's just like the cattiness, people talking behind each other's backs, always having to put on this like pretty, perfect, pristine, like facade, even though no one is perfect or pristine. Like we're all messy people, I right. think, except for maybe you, but like the rest of us are messy.
I'm a mess.
But
I just try to look put together on Instagram.
Oh, that was perfect. But no, it was like we're, you know, I think just as humans, like there was just no room for error. And I think that's actually toxic as it's just toxic because I feel like my opinion is that you should make as many mistakes as you can while you're young because you're more, it's easier to forgive someone for making a mistake when they're younger than when I'm like, you know, 40, 50, whatever.
Right.
But,
cause I really, yeah. I thought that whole episode was a very interesting episode. Especially when it came to, that whole scene of her going and like them having to dress a certain way, if I remember correctly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They had to, like say the right thing. She's like, don't embarrass me. It was just a lot that was happening. And then the older, is it the niece? The one who's yeah. really smart. And I think her name is Kamala.
Kamala. Yep.
She was expected to, like find someone or like talk to someone or something like
that. She was like in an arranged marriage situation. So she was in an arranged marriage situation and she, you know, felt this pressure to like marry this person, even though she like at that point, I think wasn't interested. Or she like wasn't like in a relationship with someone else.
Yeah.
That she actually like got along with, I guess, but she just felt pressure to marry this person because of, again, like this pressure from her family, you know, to uphold their honor and things like that.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's just so toxic. And I, you know, I think that's less common in my generation. It still exists on some level, but it's definitely less common. And yeah. Yeah. And also like in that episode too, there was like towards the end, there was like this other character that like kind of came in and like she had married a person, a Muslim person, gotten divorced, and then was like shunned essentially by everyone.
Yes, yeah. I do remember that. Yes.
And that's also BS. Like, it's just like, you know, it's just so weird because like, I think a lot of Indians also really pride themselves on being liberal until it comes to things like this
mm-hmm.
within their own family. Like, you know, it's just toxic.
Yeah.
But it's like real, you know, that's not like that, at least in my experience, those are real things that exist, at least in the Indian community that I was brought up in. So yeah. And dressing up, like I love that. I did like dressing up and stuff like that, but I hated having to show up at functions where like, I don't know. I didn't really have friends my age in the Indian community. I just didn't identify with other Indian kids. And so that was like not fun. But
did you not identify because of being an Indian American and they were more tethered to their Indian culture, or did you have different priorities?
I think it was kind of the opposite, actually. I think it was because they were more quote unquote Americanized.
Mm.
And I felt more attached to my Indian identity. And again, mm. I think it was also like I said, I felt like me and my sister were like the models that like, you know, everyone was competing with. And so, and I think part of that was because of like my personal attachment to my Indian identity. Mm-hmm. Cause I always felt like I identified more even now. Well, I think less so now because I've come to terms with like my own identity in mm-hmm. general. Mm-hmm. But I think for a long time, like for the majority of my life, I always identified more with the Indian side of my identity than the American side. And I really tried hard to like uphold like cultural values and like, you know, I am fluent in my parents' language. I learned how to write the alphabet in my parents' language. I learned how to, you know, practice the cultural like norms of like certain rituals, certain dancing, certain cuisine, like all that stuff. And so mm-hmm. I don't think other children were that invested in those particular things, unless it was like a favorite food or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean that, I, yeah, it was the opposite.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Cause I had a few questions that came into my head, but then I can't remember the other two. What I'm thinking of now is more of the show. So Never Have I Ever, one thing I'm realizing that they don't really explore are some of the challenges she may have being an Indian American from like her classmates or like her school interactions. They all seem very, you know, open and free and accepting mm-hmm. and, you know, like, oh, I'm queer, you're Asian and I'm Indian, you know, well, Indian is Asian.
No, but, you know, I agree. I think to like the outsider, you wouldn't, but there's certain things that I think as an ex-Indian child, maybe I'm still a child, I don't know. mm-hmm. But like, I feel like there's certain things that I did see that like they did, I felt seen in some of the scenes because like, I don't know. Do you remember there was like one scene where they were making a TikTok video and like they were, you know, they're dressed in like these dresses and then her yes. mom came out and like made her put on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's real. That's something my mom would make me do. Even now, like she would make me do that. And then like, what was another thing? Oh, like the mom like kind of flipping out over like the potential of Davey having a boyfriend. That's real. Yeah. Like, you know, and like, but like, it's also the dynamic of like, oh, like all these other parents are so accepting of their child dating. But,
well, you know. I think I was speaking more if we take out her interactions with her family.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And we keep her rooted in her interactions with her classmates at school. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've seen anyone, and I wonder, and maybe, you know, children are more evolved. maybe. But I remember when I was in high school or in grade school, if anyone was from a different cultural background, they were seen as other.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, I think, a bit more challenging for them to connect and find friends because of their heritage and where they come from. But I don't see that in the yeah. show. It seems like Davey she's dating, you know, a white guy who, well, not dating, but she was talking to a white guy who was, I think he's like Jewish.
Talking to him.
And then she has a crush on this white Asian Japanese guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her friend is an Asian who maybe, I can't tell what her, where like she may be
race
from.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, she yeah. might be like Japanese or Chinese. I'm not sure exactly what her...
I think, is she Japanese? Because wasn't there one scene where like Paxton was like, I'm half Japanese, or she just said Asian, never mind.
Paxton
half Japanese, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. She says Asian, and then she has a biracial friend.
Yeah.
So it just seems like they are all so like, oh, we're accepting and cool, but I know that yeah. that's not... So I wonder, was that
that's your a good experience? Point.
Like,
that's a good point.
Have to like go through defending who you like your Indian identity when it came to being in grade school with your peers.
No, like not, I wouldn't say that. I never felt like I had to defend anything, but I do think like, again, with my peers, it did, there was like a role because like, you know, I had to like, I didn't go to like my homecoming and my friends didn't know why, like I couldn't go. I couldn't go. Like I wasn't allowed to go, until like my junior and sophomore year, like my parents let me go then. And then my prom, I only went to my senior prom. And the only reason I went was because I was nominated prom royalty at my school. And so I like told my parents I had to go essentially, even though I don't think that was true. That's kind of Davey-ish. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
But like, but yeah, but I think that was like the only part that I felt like other because, they, you know, they'd be hanging out or something like that. Or like, you know, I would go eventually every once in a while to hang out with them, but I would have to leave at like 9 and everyone would be there until like, you know, whatever time. Mm-hmm. And so like, I do think that part was like hard to navigate because I also, there's like, I don't know. I don't think this is represented. Well, maybe it, no, it's not really represented in the show, but like, there's also this idea of like kind of protecting your family. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, you just like kind of make excuses and like, you don't really say like, oh, it's not because I like, I don't want to go. It's, or you say, I don't want to go when really it's because I couldn't go. Like, right. You know, it's like kind of like secret keeping. I think that's how my therapist would label it. But like, but yeah, like that was really, that's really common too. And so like, yeah, it was just, it's, I think it's just a cultural difference. Like, and we've talked about this before, but it's just that it's a whole different culture. And one of the biggest things, and I don't know if this is true for other immigrant children from other cultures or children of immigrants, but like my whole entire life has been like an act of balancing, mm-hmm. being American and Indian. And I think that part does come through a little bit in the show, not too much, because I think in efforts to also be very representative in the show, they couldn't like maybe explore that part of it, you know, right. like having to balance right. these two identities. But I do think that like there was again another like subliminal like scene where I do think it was apparent like this about there was one thing that I can think of that does represent this balancing act, and it's again with that Princeton guy, the mm-hmm. guy who could get into Princeton, where like Davey told him no because she didn't want to sit there and like, you know, novelize her trauma surrounding her dad's death.
Right.
And the fact that she was able to say no and she felt like she could is great. But then like her mom being like, you're disappointing in me, I'm disappointed in you. That's like also representative because like, you know, like it's like, my opinion is Davey did the right thing by advocating for herself again, as right. an adult 30-year-old woman who's already been through all this, but it's like, she was punished for that almost. Like she was, you know,
now this seems like the mother weaponizes mm-hmm. a lot of these, words, like I'm disappointed in you. Like, what does she truly do? You know? And I mean, maybe because I'm missing the cultural piece of it, but it's yeah. like to say something like I'm disappointed in you simply because she didn't want to do that. It's almost as mm-hmm. if she wants her daughter to feel shame and guilt.
But that's real. That's real.
Yeah. I understand it's real. I'm like, but that's so shitty. You know,
it's like, it is. Yeah, it is. And it's like, you know, and this is part of the reason why I'm in therapy. Let me project myself onto this show because it's literally my upbringing. Yeah. But like, you know, it's really true because like, and I don't think it's intentional. I think again, all our parents have this like desire, deep desire for us to be successful and be able to take care of ourselves and things like that. And the fear is what drives all of this, but it's toxic. I mean, right. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is very toxic, even if the intention behind it is well-meaning and out of love. But like, right. It's just like, you know, it's like her mother didn't think about, she didn't even ask, why did you say no? Or right. like, you know, things like that. It was just like, oh, you didn't do this. Now you're like, you're jeopardizing your future. But it's like, why did she do that? It's because she didn't want to sit there and capitalize on her father's death. Like,
right.
you know, and even so, like, even recently, like, I don't know if I mentioned this, like on the last episode, like I was seriously considering quitting my PhD. I think I mentioned that.
You did.
And, you know, I was telling my mom and dad that because, again, as an adult, I'm like trying to have this more open relationship with my parents. But even then, my mom was just like, you know, just like, just do what they want, blah, blah, blah. Even if it felt uncomfortable, like, or if it felt, you know, like I was not respecting myself or things like that.
Right.
But even as a 30-year-old, that's the messaging I'm getting from my parents.
Yeah.
And so like, imagine like that part was very real too. And I think it's like, American culture tells us to be like this independent individual who like makes these decisions for themselves. And then the Indian culture is like, no, nah, don't do that. So
don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because I do feel like we all go through elements of that with our parents, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of your background and upbringing. This show to me feels like, you know, in the Indian culture, you may experience it on, you know, times 10 on steroids. because, you know, we don't have like gatherings where we are all coming together to like compete. Simply,
but that's real.
You know,
and that's every weekend in the Indian community.
And, like, that, yeah. and that would terrify me, honestly. Like we have it, like I may have it at a family reunion mm-hmm. once every 2 years where the parents will be like, oh, how's your daughter doing? And they're like, oh, you know, she's getting straight A's. And you're like, oh, my son is too. You know, he just released an album. You know, so they like, they all, I think a lot of people in different cultures and different spaces do this, but I also don't know if I walked away feeling shame for not mm-hmm. rising to, you know, any one particular level.
Yeah.
And so that's a little traumatizing to hear that people go through that, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I felt so seen with that entire show, which is why I love it. Like, I just, like I said, again, there's always room for improvement. And like the things that you've mentioned are also, you know, I just think they had to sacrifice certain things. So how much of an experience can you really capture? And, you know,
right.
I'm sure Mindy kind of like, I talk about Mindy like she's my friend. Mindy.
No, she's a friend. Because she was my friend because I didn't watch The Office. The girls loved The Office.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't watch it either.
No.
But I loved the Mindy, the Mindy Project.
Yeah.
And then it kind of trailed off at the end, like most shows. But in the very beginning, Mindy is very charming. I like Mindy.
Yeah.
I follow her on Instagram. I think she's great. I love her.
But yeah, no, I think she, you know, she's probably, you know, not capitalizing, that sounds like terrible, but like expressing through the show, like what her own experiences were, because, you know, I think they captured a lot of my childhood very well.
Yeah.
And it made me feel better because like, it's isolating to go through all of this and like, but to know like that if this is happening, it means it happened to someone else too. Like if I'm seeing this, it's happened and that's terrible. Like, I don't want other people to experience all of the things that I've experienced, but like, but it is like validating to be like, oh wow. Okay. Like I'm not the only one. And
yeah. It's like a shared experience, you know, it's like, yeah. I think that's one of the good things that TikTok brought to us is that like
right.
the things that we thought were so weird that we did, like literally everyone else has had these experiences.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, oh my goodness, like I don't feel alone, or like, god dang, I can relate to that. So I think that's the beauty of shows like this.
Yeah.
It points like a magnifying glass on a population of people that I don't think gets a lot of shine on television or in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think I can think of any one other show that follows an Indian family.
Are there like equivalent shows, you know, for Black people?
I don't think, not as many anymore, but there was a time where we did have like shows. I don't know if you remember that channel UPN.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really watch it, but yeah, I think we had it growing up.
It was like, it was a regular channel, and that was the CW. And when it was the UPN, they featured a lot of Black family kind of like comedy shows. Like that's where we get Moesha. That's where we got the Parkers. That's where we get Half and Half. I don't think Sister Sister was on that channel. I think Sister Sister was on like
Sister Sister. I still love that.
Yeah, show. But Sister Sister low key is more of is more like commercial, popular facing. Because I think Sister Sister, Smart Guy, they were more on like ABC, Disney. Like,
what about The Proud Family? I know that was on Disney too, but like,
yeah, The Proud Family would be a good example of that too.
Yeah,
because it's another, like, how many animated shows do we have that feature a Black family? Like, not many, it's just we had them. I think right now, one of the only examples I can think of is Blackish. But Black people don't care for Blackish.
Oh, really? Okay, I haven't watched it, so.
It's okay. It's not a bad show. But you can definitely tell that it's a show made by Black people for white people. It's kind of like,
okay,
It's always very preachy and trying to explain the Black experience to people who may not, you know, live that life or understand it, versus just having dialogue and jokes that exist within the Black experience that Black people would get. So it's not truly a show. It doesn't always feel like a show for us, like Moesha did. Moesha felt like a show for us. The Parkers, if you haven't watched any of these, they're on Netflix. The
Parkers, Moesha, but
my favorite show. I can watch Parkers from season to season to season to season, laugh like I've never seen that show ever. Like, it is so good.
I need to watch that.
It is so good. Just, I mean, pick any random episode. You are going to be on the floor dying. I promise you. It is so good.
Love it. Yeah.
But it, but you know, we have the, you know, we've had these opportunities, and I don't think that we have them as regularly now, but I don't think that we've had, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen an Indian family as the star in a, 30 minute like comedy sitcom. Thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think also like Indian people, when they do show up, are like a caricature, like, you know, Simpsons, what's that guy's name?
Abu?
Like, Abu, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. And like, so it's always a caricature of like, of Indian, you know, stereotypes or whatever. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I don't know. I started watching it because some of my Indian friends like mentioned it, or like, oh no, my sister actually. I think my sister is the one who told me about Never Have I Ever and told me to watch it. But yeah, it's, and I think the reason why she did that is because she was just like, this is us. This is our experience growing up. So
I don't know what made me watch the show. I was wondering,
I was just about to ask that, because I'm like, I'm curious about, why you chose to watch
I want to say I might have just heard a lot about it on like Instagram and like the media, because a lot of people were very like giving it a lot of praise and saying that it was like such a good show, and the characters were very realistic, and they praised Davy and the actress that plays Davy, and I think that's what made me, you know, get interested. And I feel like at the end of the day, when it comes to like 30-minute shows, I am more willing to like give them a shot.
Yeah.
And see where it goes. And so the first episode hooked me, and I was like, oh, I have to watch this. I have to keep watching it. And that's how I get into a lot of shows. But like, some of them truly suck. So like, there's a show on Netflix called like Family Reunion. And it has Tia Mowry from Sister Sister, one of the twins, and some other Black people who are notable, who we would know, like Loretta Devine and things like that. The show is horrible. It is cringy. Like, the comedy isn't, it's not smart. I don't know. I don't want to bash the show, because, you know, let's give Black people a job. I like that. But it's just, I don't know. It's not good, but, you know, Never Have I Ever is. So it's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, having someone who's talented behind the production and the creation of it, like Mindy, and I don't know who created Family Reunion. I'm sure it was someone talented, but it's also kind of like the money. I feel like they put a lot more money behind Never Have I Ever than mm-hmm. they do this Family Reunion show, because sometimes it looks like it was shot on an iPhone. So it's just kind of, you know, it's the difference between those storytellings and kind of like how they resonate with the audience. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, what if we gave every family of color or every show that would showcase a family of color the budget that is similar to Never Have I Ever?
Yeah.
Would we be able to wrap, like, be able to share in that show and not feel like it is only for one particular community?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And that's a really good point. But I also think, like, I think in Never Have I Ever, like, I do appreciate that they do have, like, these separate storylines, kind of, even though, like, I feel like the center is Davey and her life, but, like, you know, what's her friend's name? The one who's gay.
I cannot tell you her name.
I can't remember, but like, she's, you know, her, like, yeah, she's gorgeous, but, like, just like her, like, wanting to come out to her family, even though her family is, like, you know, supportive and they, like, are open to discussion and they, like, I don't know, but she was also afraid to tell them that she was, like, taking AP Latin or something.
Right. It was funny, like, the things that she was afraid to tell them. Yeah. And I was the exact opposite. So, like, growing up, I relate to her character a bit. Mm-hmm. I think I don't relate to her because she is, like, not connected to, like, pop culture or anything.
She, like, talks to a robot.
Right. But, and that's all she, like, knows and understands. So I don't relate to that. But as far as, like, just, you know, being afraid to tell your family and, like, having that conversation and then figuring out, you know, what are the elements that are unique to the queer community, which is something I know you haven't started season two, but it comes up in the first episode.
Oh, awesome.
Where she is, like, you know, now dating homegirl, and she's a part of a group text, and they're talking about things that she has literally no concept of, and she's like, what does this mean? And you can see she's trying to figure out, like, the gay experience. Like, what are those things that are unique to us? And I feel like when I moved to Chicago, I had this whole realization that there was this whole world that I had no idea existed. You know, I had never seen RuPaul's Drag Race before. You know, I had never watched.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, because I denied myself of it because I was in a heterosexual relationship and I didn't want anything to, like, penetrate it. So I was
tilt,
like, nah.
That on, yeah.
Right. So I'm like, makes sense. So I never watched it. I never watched gay shows. And so when I came to Chicago, I started to, like, indulge in all of this content that was LGBTQ plus specific. And, you know, it, like, opened my eyes. And I can see this character now kind of going through that journey.
Yeah.
And figuring out, like, what is this whole life about, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I think I was just, like, also thinking, like, because Davey, you know, being her devious self, like, trying to make her, you know, originally, like, date this guy, who was it, like, whatever his name was, but wow, I'm bad with characters.
Me too.
Or names, but, like, I can see the person, I just can't, like, remember their name. But, like, but yeah, like, she was like, you need to date him to, like, the clout chasing or whatever. And then, like, her, like, coming into this, like, idea, like, understanding, like, oh wow, I'm not, like, attracted to him, but I'm attracted to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I don't think it's that simple. I think it's probably a lot more tumultuous. Well, I know it's a lot more tumultuous, but, like, but yeah, like,
I think society makes it tumultuous, you know.
Yeah.
I when I think back about, like, my attraction to guys, I remember it being literally the most natural thing.
Really? Like, okay.
I wasn't conflicted because I also had no concept of the word gay.
Okay, yeah.
I had no concept of, like, sexuality. I just knew that I liked to look at
men. Or boys, yeah.
Or boys at the time. So it was like, you know, I would like look at guys. And I remember when I was a kid, and I think I like remembered this when I was on an edible. Anywho, so I think because low-key, and I, you know, slight digression.
Deep thoughts, yeah.
I literally be remembering, like, childhood, like, memories that have been locked away. So I believe they're real. I don't believe I'm making them up. But, like, anywho, I remember truly, like, sneaking glances at, like, the boy that I thought was cute in the room. And, like, people were like, why are you looking at me? You know, like, why he, you know, they would notice. And I would be like, oh shit. Like, so it was just one of those things of like, for me, it was always so, it was like, I just thought these guys were cute. And like, you know, but I had no concept of gay. I had no concept of that. But when you start to understand that, like, oh, society doesn't like gay people. Oh, that's bad. Oh, you get called a sissy or XYZ. You then become conflicted because you're like, I don't want to be alienated, but I can't help what I like.
And so, that's interesting. Because, like, I also, so the first time I ever heard the word lesbian, I don't think I even heard the word gay at this point. The first time I heard the word lesbian, I still didn't know what it meant, but it was being used in like this, like, oh, like it was a bunch of girls who used to, you know, the cool kids used to sit in the back of the bus. I was not the cool kid. I sat in the front of the bus.
Me too.
But like, there was a bunch of cool kids and they were just like talking about how someone had called one of them a lesbian and they were just like, I'm so lesbian. But they were like being very like pretentious and kind of facetious about it. Like they were just, you know, it was, they were throwing it around like it was a dirty word. And I was like, okay, like that was my first time hearing that word. And I still remember it to this day. Cause I think I was like in seventh grade, I think, or something like that. But yeah, it's interesting how like that does play. And I think you're absolutely right. I think society makes it harder. And like, I think, yeah, it's so dumb. And maybe the show is like showing the ideal version of what it could be if everyone's just like, oh, okay. But at the same time, it's just the expectation that she was supposed to be in like a hetero relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
even her mom was just like the assumption.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And her mom, like, you know, her mom was also like trying to get her to go paint her nails. And she was just like, I just want clear nail polish. And she's like, and her mom was like, no, like, why don't you get like flowers or something? And she's like, can you put computers on my nails? And like, you know, it's just kind of like, it reminds me of this other family that I used to follow them on social media and now I haven't, but I still follow them. Well, I follow them on Instagram. I used to watch their YouTube like religiously. But they have, it's like, you know, a husband and a wife and they have four kids and their second child, you know, wanted to start wearing dresses. I don't think they've like labeled pronouns or anything for them, or maybe they have a name, another name that not the name that like the parents assigned them,
right.
But the parents have been so accepting of the child, like, you know, wearing whatever they want to wear and, you know, things like that. And I just think that's amazing because like they grew up thinking that, you know, the child was a boy. And then when, I don't want to say like he, but when the child like started saying like, I want long hair, they couldn't just grow his hair out, but they went out and bought like extensions for him and they bought a wig for him so that he could like, they could have the like experience of like having long hair and things like that and wearing dresses. And like, they allowed them to go wear dresses to school and things like that. And I just think like, if all parents did that and didn't sit there and say like, oh, you can't paint your nails because you're a boy and you can't paint your nail. You can because you're a girl, or like, you know, whatever it is. Or I don't know. I hope that if I ever have kids, that's the type of parent that I end up being.
You will absolutely be that type of parent.
But I don't know. Like, I just admire how that family has created the space for their children to be whoever they want to be. Like, not, you know, not have to feel this pressure of like, oh, only girls paint their nails and only girls have long hair and like things like that.
So archaic, and it's a harmful way of thinking, you know, in general. Mm-hmm. That, and I mean, to bring it home, it's even like just when it comes to like Never Have I Ever and the challenges she has from her culture versus who she is in mm-hmm. her everyday life, is like life is too short to feel like you have to fit inside a box.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to. All right. No. And it's like, and life is so much more fun and vibrant when you are truly walking in the identity that you want to walk in. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people who are conflicted and torn in their adult life, even because they have chosen a life that doesn't align with who they truly want to be.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you summed it up really well.
In order to make everyone else feel comfortable. So it's like, go for it.
Yeah. Creating these rules, like everyone came into this world with these, like, when I shouldn't say everyone, in our generation, at least, everyone came into these rules with these expectations that, like, based off of certain, I don't know, like arbitrary rules, like that, mm-hmm. this is how people would execute their life and like all these things. And I completely agree.
I think the kids of today are a bit more free.
I think so too, but I also hope so. Like,
I hope so. And I think that, you know, we had to crawl in order for them to be able to run. Because I would have never been, you know, 14 and making TikToks about, you know, being gay.
Are you making TikToks? I need to go check this out.
No.
He's like, no, I'm spilling all my tea there.
I would have never been 14 doing that.
Because
when I was 14, again, like I've always said on this channel, I wanted to be a musician. And I think that, and I know for a fact, and I feel it in my heart and soul, that I would have actually made it had I been able to be me.
Be Flex and Preston.
To be Preston. Had I been able to be thick, overweight, fat, whatever that was when I was a kid, husky, I guess, mm-hmm. and gay.
Yeah.
I truly feel like I would have continued to develop my passion, my craft, and kept moving forward mm-hmm. in that space. But because I kept at every door, I kept being told that I'm not what I should be. Mm-hmm. It felt like it feels impossible. Like, how am I going to convince the world that I'm straight mm-hmm. when I'm not? Like,
and you know, I think that brings up, there's another topic I just thought of that we should talk about in another episode, but definitely. I also think like, I think absolutely. I think that sometimes when people are like repressed or suppressed, it's like that ends up being what's like limiting them from their full true potential. And like, you know, I think in your example, that's absolutely true. And I like can think of myself, like, you know, I went through my entire life for a long time feeling like I had to ask for permission to do things, but like mm-hmm. maybe if I had just done them, I would be somewhere else. And maybe I'm not unhappy with where my life is, but like, I just also wonder if I had just like kept going, you know, doing what I wanted to do, expressing myself the way I wanted to express myself, where would I be? So.
And that's, you know, and I agree. Like, I'm not unhappy with my life either. And I feel like mm-hmm. had I not made the choices that I made, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be with Tyler and I wouldn't be engaged and I wouldn't have the job that I do. But I can't help but wonder like that. What if, what if I could have been out and gay at 15 making music? What if I could have been in my regular old body, husky, mm-hmm. overweight, making music and been accepted for both of those things? Like what?
Yeah.
Where would my life have been?
You know? I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. It's not too late.
I don't have time. Like, I'm tired.
We'll just like get vocals on the podcast and then, you know,
We need a theme song. And you're like,
yes, we do.
Mona and Preston, Mona and Preston, Mona and Preston, Mona and Preston. Talking to you about public health, public health.
That was beautiful. I love it. There you go. Now we need to like clip that and go send it to a record label and be
But you have to do a rap.
Me?
Yeah.
I am not a rapper.
You have to be like,
I can rhyme.
Mona Lisa.
I feel like I just thought about this just like a second ago because I said like suppressed and repressed. And I feel like that's a common thing that I do. Like the other day on another episode, I was like provoke and evoke. And I was like, why am I just rhyming over here? Maybe I should take over Nicki Minaj's job.
Honestly, you could be a ghostwriter for Nicki.
There you go.
And high key, it would be an improvement. So like... Okay, hold on. Let me get some context. Sorry, this is nothing about anything we talked about today. However, if you guys haven't listened to the last episode we posted, which was breaking down Nicki Minaj, and I was very critical about Nicki. I stand by everything I said, by the way. But since then, Nicki released a single. It's a remix with this new rapper named Bia, and it's called Whole Lot of Money. You guys have heard the song on TikTok because they play the song out. And it's like, I don't know if you heard it, it's like, I wear all my jewelry when I go to the bodega. So it's that, and Nicki gets on the remix, and it sounds like Nicki is returning to form. It's like,
she heard you.
I think she heard it. I think she was listening to the podcast and she's returned. And I was like, okay, Nicki, I see you, bitch.
Yeah. So
hopefully we'll continue to go down that.
Was this after our episode posted?
I don't know. I feel like it was before.
Man, I was going to, well, you know, in Epi, we say, what is it? Correlation does not imply causation, but.
Right.
But
I also, you know, have been critical of her before in other spaces.
Yeah.
And so I do feel, especially like on an Instagram story or something, I do feel like she got the vibes from me. Okay. And Nicki she inspired Minaj. My nail color because on the cover.
You know, I saw you like kind of moving them around. And I was like, I couldn't tell if it was like pink or not. But
they're
hot pink. Beautiful. I love it.
Thank you. She inspired this color because on the album artwork for that single, she had these long pink nails. And again, it was such a good song. It's such a good single. Good job, Nicki. You tried. And we hear it.
All right, Nicki. Remember, if you ever hear this, if anyone who's close to Nicki hears this, Preston is... you know, give me a free advice. He's willing to be a brand consultant. Maybe that will have like a price tag on it.
Absolutely. I'm not giving you my intellectual property for free.
Yeah. Okay? But he was right. Preston was right. Like he literally just said all these things and then.
And look at you now, girl. Like, yeah. And people are actually saying, okay, all right. Nicki, yeah. We see you. So keep it up.
Yep. And also, as a side note, have you ever considered like nail art or are you just a one color kind of person?
I have considered nail art, to be honest. I just don't have the desire to find someone to do it.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
That's the only thing. I go to the same place. They know who I am. I come in there.
And they're reliable. Yeah.
Yeah, they're reliable, but they're not like those fashion,
like no nail
art people. And I just haven't taken the time to find someone who could do it. So
yeah, it's hard. I started doing I was inspired actually. This is why I'm saying this podcast has been so healthy for me, but like I started painting my nails. They've been like consistently painted for like the last 3 or 3 months. But anyway, one of my students like will do my nails every once in a while. And I just feel like she does she's like definitely amateur and, you know, still learning, but I think she does a great job for.
That's amazing.
You know, for her skill set. Last time she painted my nails, she put naked ladies on them. And I just loved it.
Oh.
there's a picture on Instagram. Go check that out.
I feel like I've seen them. Is it like a boob?
Yeah. It's just a bunch of naked ladies. There's boobs. There's more than that.
I love that for you.
But no, she did a great job, and I was just really, I don't know, she's great. We have therapy. She's like a lot younger than me, but way wiser than I am.
Oh yes, I have seen these. It is a big nipple in the middle. You guys should go look.
Yeah,
it's really cute.
Yep, bunch of naked ladies. But yeah, any last thoughts? Any final thoughts?
I don't have any final thoughts. You all should go and watch Never Have I Ever. We talked about that and then other things. So, you know,
yeah.
Never Have I Ever, Asian Fusion, Chicken Wings.
Yes.
Nicki Minaj's new single. Any other topics that we covered?
Priyanka Chopra.
We talked about a lot.
Yeah, we did. And yeah, you know, if you have time, go tell Netflix to sponsor us. Tell Never Have I Ever to sponsor us. Tell Mindy to reach out. I haven't heard from her in a couple of days.
Hello. Like, honestly, what they really could do is hire us to give the weekly breakdown of the Never Have I Ever episode.
Oh my gosh, the dream. And I would love that job.
Wouldn't that be amazing? And it's called like it should be punny. That's what
we could just start
for.
Our episodes with Never Have I Ever.
Yeah. And it could just be like, I don't know, something different every time. Never Have I Ever like had a blowjob, a handy. He uses this word in one of the episodes. So it has to be something from the episode. So it's like, Never Have I Ever received a handy. And then we talk about that episode and talk about our own experiences of our sexual escapades and whatnot. I think it could be a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
Netflix, Mindy, like, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Collab right here. But yeah, otherwise, till then, follow Preston at Charm and Preston or Flex and Preston. Follow me at Miss Mona. You can go see the Naked Ladies or on the Bumbling PhD. Although I haven't been very active. I'm going through a phase right now. But also follow our podcast at Unanthropologetic Podcast. Leave us a comment, like, review, subscribe.
And I heard that the girls say it should be Apple. Like, I know people may listen on Spotify or any of the other platforms, but if you want to leave a review, apparently Apple is one that like actually helps your placement in like Google or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's
good to know. Yeah.
So yes, if you want to leave us a comment, of course you can leave it anywhere. We would be very appreciative. But if you could try to mosey on over to the Apple Podcast app and leave the review, that would help us a whole lot.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And if you ever want to come on and talk about something, you want to talk about Mindy Kaling, you want to talk about Never Have I Ever.
Your favorite show that I hopefully will agree is a good show. Otherwise, we won't be talking about it. No,
but yeah, if you ever want to talk to us about anything, you're more than welcome to, as long as you're talking about something. But yeah, till next time, take care.